We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report for March 22, 2010. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll have cash grain analysis with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, USDA's Inspector General says the department is lax when it comes to enforcing penalties against those who falsely market foods as organic. We'll have this and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason reports on the key upcoming end-of-month USDA reports. It's all on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
On Monday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City and Chicago. In Kansas City, May wheat, 494 up to July, 505 up to September, 516 and a half up 1 1/2. May wheat at the board, 486 and a half up 2 3/4. July, 499 up 2 1/2. September, 514 up 2 1/2. May corn, 370 and 3/4, down 3 3/4. July, 381 and 3/4, down 3 3/4. December, 399 and a quarter, down 4 1/4. March of 2011, 410, down 2 1/2. May beans, 968 and a half, up 6 3/4. July, 976 and 3/4, up 7 1/4. August, 973 and a quarter, up 7 1/4. November, 945 and 3/4, up 3 3/4. May soybean meal, 271.40, up 120. May soybean oil at 39.72, up 42. April live cattle, 97.10, down 87 1/2. June, 94.07 and a half, down 105. March feeders, 104.70, down 10. April, 107.45, down 122 and a half. And April lean hogs at 73.10, down 25. And those are Monday afternoon settlements from Kansas City and from Chicago.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Looking at meteorologist Scott Althoff's two-state forecast tonight, he says in eastern and southern Illinois, as well as central and southern Indiana, becoming partly cloudy with patchy dense fog developing. Elsewhere partly cloudy, lows ranging from 31 in the far north to 40 in the south. Tomorrow partly to mostly sunny, highs ranging from 53 in the Chicago area to 65 in the south. Here's Scott's extended two-state highlights. He says dry weather will move into the Midwest Tuesday and Wednesday. Another storm system will move into the Midwest Thursday and Friday, and again Sunday and Monday. Overall, over the next 2 weeks, it looks fairly wet, especially across the lower and middle Mississippi Valley. Temperatures over the next couple of weeks will be near average over the Midwest. We would like to thank these sponsors who helped support the recent WILL 20th Annual All-Day Ag Outlook Meeting and all of our agricultural programs on air and online. Bates Commodities, the Andersons, AgriGold Hybrids, ADM Investments, and L&M Commodities. Thank you. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Pete Manhart in for Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Pete.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Here's something you don't say very often, at least I don't get to say very often. We had a rally today.
Beans were up and wheat was up, and a lot of it was short covering. A lot of it was just seasonal of markets moving up.
And I guess the dollar backed off its early strength at some point in the session?
Right. We opened on the lows of everything. The dollar was up 37 cents, and we backed off, and we're actually down 15 to 20 at one time. The dollar at the moment is still down 10 cents. At the same time it was up, crude oil was down $2. So those two helped open things on the low side.
Looks to me like the funds are about short 66,000 contracts or so. Do you think there will be more short covering in the next couple of days?
Yes, I think there will. And you got to remember, that's the hedge funds and the trend following funds. The index funds are long, extremely long, corn, beans, and wheat.
Turn your attention and give us a little bit more analysis about the beans, if you will, please.
A lot of short covering, a lot of worry about South America not having a big enough hose to get the crop out to the markets on this largest crop they've ever produced, and that means that people will have to still come here to get beans, old crop, and that helps push those higher.
Do you make much of May hitting a three-week technical high of 975?
If it would have stayed there, yeah, but we got to see it go through there and stay.
Also, I guess we're seeing that there's some news about storms in Rio Grande do Sul.
I think that's just something that happens every year. You do have storms. They are ahead of harvest there, and they continue to harvest at a good pace. It's just a normal storm that will, you know, lay them up for ever long, just like whenever we have storms while we're harvesting.
But it is a tale of two crops, though. I noticed that the bull spreads were working today.
Correct. They are. Old crop is going to be better than new crop. New crop still going to be worried about how much more acreage we're going to plant and also how much South American crop will still be delivered to market while we're cutting our new crop.
While all that rallying was going on in those two picks, corn ended up the day lower.
Yeah, corn ended up back near its low at the end of the day. Just could not stay up there. It barely got to the plus side a couple of times. And then most of that is because our export market is pretty poor right now.
Yeah, South Korea passed on corn today, and that usually doesn't ever happen.
No, they usually don't.
So at the end of the day, what are your thoughts on how today's trade sets up maybe the balance of the week?
Well, we're looking at highs by Wednesday in the beans. We're looking to sell our old cash and get new sales on the books for beans on new highs or close to new highs. So that's it on the beans. On corn, we're still trying on any bounces to catch up on old sales. We're going to wait on new sales to see if the growing season does provide some upward movement there.
What do you make of all the trade guesstimates thus far for next Wednesday's prospective planning report?
They're all over the place. I think the biggest concern is that USDA's numbers leave out a bunch of acres that will get planted. And everybody goes by USDA acres as a starting point, but their last two acreage numbers did not take into consideration all the acres that will be planted.
It looks to me like the trade has something like a 3 million acre variance in some of these crops?
3 to 4 million, yes. I mean, we have 6.2 million acres that didn't get put in the winter wheat. How many of that's going to be in corn and beans? Maybe the Dakotas won't plant 2 to 3 million, but Dakotas, when you get right down to it, don't matter as much as acreage in the Midwest.
What it means, perhaps, is that we're setting ourselves up for a very volatile next Wednesday.
Oh, very volatile. The acreage next Wednesday, and the thing of it is, how realistic will it be? But it doesn't matter. If that's the starting place, it creates volatility for that next week.
And it may actually be a little bit of a domino effect. The acreage thing might not be the first thing that traders look at for trading. They may save that a bit, and they may do the quarterly grain stocks first.
Well, the grain stocks are very important also. of where we're at. And the thing that surprises me right now is our grain stocks here are fairly tight on the beans, but worldwide we have plenty, but it's getting the grain out of South America that's made ours going to tighten up because people are going to come here to get ours.
And I have a story in the news today that says that Brazilian farmers are losing money now.
They supposedly are losing money. It supposedly takes over $2 an acre, a bushel, just to get their grain to the market, their beans. And, they supposedly at these prices are losing money and don't want to sell.
Anything else before we let you go today?
It's a wide open market. Be ready to be nimble.
Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. Thanks, Pete.
You're welcome.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Tom Testel and Morris at 815-941-2184. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In agricultural news, USDA's Inspector General today says the department has failed to enforce penalties against some who falsely market goods as organic. A report by the Inspector General says the agency needs to step up enforcement of those who sell products under the USDA organic label, but do not meet government standards to do so. The internal report says the department has failed to monitor some companies it had already identified as improperly marketing their products as organic. In one case, the department never issued enforcement action against an operation that had marketed non-organic mint under the department's label for 2 years. The report also says that the department is not processing complaints about the program fast enough and that agents charged with certifying organic operations are not following consistent rules. Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao today says that May's strategic dialogue with the United States is going to be very important for addressing problems that exist between the two countries. Wen added that he believes economic strains with the U.S. could be resolved through, quote, mutual accommodation, and that China would increase imports with the U.S. Energy ministers from oil-producing countries today are calling for tougher rules on speculation in commodities, which they say are undermining investment to ensure energy supplies. OPEC officials say speculation has led to excessive volatility in prices, creating difficulties for both consumers and producers by confusing the outlook for investment plans. But Richard Jones, Deputy Executive Director of the Consuming Nations Group International Energy Agency, says there is little evidence that financial market activity in commodities is driving volatility, with one study suggesting that only 0.3% of volatility in the U.S. crude West Texas Intermediate was due to positions taken by money managers. A compromise climate change bill being written in the Senate would give U.S. power generating companies free pollution permits, at least initially. The bill also would give the coal industry $10 billion to develop clean technology. Democratic Senator John Kerry is trying to push a bill through the Senate this year that would address global warming by reducing the 6.4 billion tons of greenhouse gas emissions the U.S. puts into the atmosphere annually. While the bill is not yet ready to be introduced in the Senate, Kerry has held a series of briefings for lawmakers, industry groups, and environmentalists. Power companies, which emit 40% of U.S. greenhouse gases, would be the first to face pollution limits. Brazil farmers say, despite higher soybean yields, lower input costs, and international market prices holding firm, many Brazilian farmers may still end up being in the red this year. According to the Mato Grosso Soybean Producers Association, soybean prices have now dropped below the cost of production in most regions of the state. The average cost of production this season in Mato Grosso was around $7 a bushel based on yields of 45 bushels to the acre, while prices are currently as low as $6 per bushel in the center north of the state. Soybean prices in Chicago would need to rise to $13.50 a bushel for Brazilian farmers to receive the same amount in local currency terms for their beans as a year ago. Pepsi Company plans to cut the sodium found in each serving of its key brands by one-fourth over 5 years. The maker of Frito-Lay potato chips and Pepsi drinks announced several nutritional goals today at the start of a two-day investor conference. The company also set two goals for the next decade to cut the average added sugar per serving by 25% and saturated fat per serving by 15%. Last week, Kraft Foods pledged to cut salt in its products sold in North America by an average of 10% over the next 2 years. ConAgra Foods Incorporated and Campbell Soup Company have also announced sodium cuts. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. USDA will release two reports on March 31st. Todd Gleason has this preview with University of Illinois agricultural economist Darrell Good.
The end of March reports could have significant impact on the price of corn and soybeans. These are the March 1 grain stocks report and the annual prospective plantings report. Illinois ag economist Darrell Good says the quarterly grain stocks report for corn may be more important this year than in a typical year because there are still unresolved questions about the size of the 2009 harvest and the impact that quality of the 2009 crop has had on domestic consumption.
Some argue that the generally low test weight of the 2009 crop has resulted in higher consumption rates in the domestic livestock and processing sectors. Lower test weights should result in larger rates of consumption if consumption were measured by volume. However, production and consumption estimates are made in units of weight so that the impact of test weight on the number of bushels consumed may be minimal. Anticipating the estimate of March 1 inventories of corn is also complicated by the seasonal pattern of domestic feed and residual use that appears to have changed over the past 2 years.
For the 5 years from the 2002-03 crop through the 2006-07 crop, feed and residual use for corn during the first half of the marketing year averaged 63.8%. The usage figure for the fall 2007 and 2008 crops is about 7 and 5% bigger, respectively. What is the pattern this year, then, asked Darrell Good.
Assuming the pattern is the same as last year and that the USDA has correctly projected use for the year, use during the second quarter should have been near 1.69 billion bushels. In contrast, a reversion to the previous pattern would result in second quarter use of only 1.45 billion bushels. If the seasonal pattern of domestic corn processing use is following that of last year and the USDA has correctly projected the total for the year, use during the second quarter should have been near 1.33 billion bushels. Second quarter exports were likely near 422 million bushels. Using the higher estimate of feed and residual use, total use during the quarter should have been near 3.44 billion bushels. In that case, March 1 stock should have been near 7.48 billion bushels, 520 million larger than the inventory of a year earlier.
Apply a similar exercise to soybean usage and March 1 stocks could be about 85 million less than stocks a year ago. It would be positive the bean market and negative the corn market, presumably. About the prospective plantings report, there is far more uncertainty than usual about the prospective plantings of spring crops because of the large decline in winter wheat seeding, says Darrell Good. The maturity of some CRP contracts, the wide range in total planted acres of all crops in recent years, and the lack of fall field work and fertilizer application in some areas. There seems to be general agreement, though, that producers will report intentions to plant more corn due to expanding ethanol requirements. Expectations generally fall in a range of 2 to 4 million acres in increase. Expectations for soybean acreage are far more diverse, with some expecting intentions to show an increase and some expecting a decrease. A large increase would likely be viewed as negative for prices due to the large South American crop and prospects for declining demand for U.S. soybeans. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Brian Stark of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, we're about, 3 weeks or so away from some adventurous farmers trying to go out and do some planting of beans, maybe?
No, I think, obviously, I don't know about beans, but they're definitely going to be focused on corn here very soon, hopefully by the middle of April. And we're hoping for a more normal spring planting season. Time will tell, but there's a lot of prep work that I think still needs to be done, a lot of anhydrous that didn't get done this past fall. So hopefully Mother Nature gives us some warm, dry weather, at least for a little while.
So you suggested, well, it's wet out there. It is. You suggested that a lot of field work still needs to be done that didn't get done in the fall. It does. There are ruts that have to be smoothed out, anhydrous that needs to be put on, and there is corn that needs still to be marketed. So I imagine things are picking up for you.
Yes, they are. We've seen an abnormal, I wouldn't say abnormal, but a more normal than usual movement of corn in the month of March. I think partly because of the January 11th final production report kind of sent some shockwaves through the market. Producers have been frozen a little bit, hoping that the market would present some better selling opportunities since then. So movement in January wasn't typical. It was down from past history. We're seeing that pick up in March, not because of price, but because of the concern of quality and what the producer may find if he leaves a lot of the corn at higher moisture levels in the bin once he gets done with the planting season. So we're trying to get ahead of the game a little bit, moving it as best they can, and hoping that they'll have an opportunity to sell some on a rally as we enter the spring season.
So what kind of corn are you getting in these days relative to quality?
I would say right now it's a little bit higher damage than normal. It's above 5%. 5% is the threshold for number two yellow corn, and we've seen it above there. And it is a cause for a little alarm here this early in the season, but not to be unexpected given how wet the crop was this past fall and what we had to do putting it in the bin with just air on it. I think the producer needs to pay attention because as the temperatures consistently warm up here as we enter the next 2-3 months, it's going to be a bigger challenge, and they're going to get busy, as we know, with a lot of field work, a lot of planning to do, and I think that's why a lot of it started to move. But it's only going to be a bigger problem as the temperatures warm, and I would just say for commercial elevators, it could be a big challenge moving forward here the rest of the season.
And very quickly, a word or two about beans.
I would say the bean market's a surprise. Everybody talks about the big South American crop. We haven't seen the impact on the board. When we talk about the acreage report, a big report here next Wednesday, a lot of people believe we're going to see a bigger bean acreage number than corn. Yet corn's down today, beans are up. Kind of a head scratcher.
And your prices?
Prices today, we are $3.49 cash for corn. Fall corn is $3.69. Cash soybeans, $9.58. And fall beans, $9.06.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Brian Stark of the Andersons, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. In just 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at agricultural weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. A professor at the University of Illinois says the political fallout from last night's passage of health care reform won't be known until around the November elections. Robert Rich with the Institute of Government and Public Affairs says while children and small businesses are among those to benefit quickly from the House passage of the measure, it remains to be seen what the Senate will do with the final package. Rich says he expects all Republicans to vote it down again, and with what he calls the heart of the legislation, coverage of the uninsured not kicking in until 2014, Rich says he expects the GOP to fight for the repeal of the measure for the next few years, but he says that's unlikely with a two-thirds majority required and President Obama still in office through 2012. Governor Pat Quinn, meanwhile, says Illinois won't try to block the health care reform that Congress has passed. Quinn today said Illinois embraces the reforms, unlike other states. Virginia has already announced a legal challenge, and a new Virginia law says its residents can't be forced by the government to have insurance. Idaho's governor also has signed a measure requiring that the state's attorney general to sue the federal government over mandates that require people to have coverage. Quinn, however, says he doesn't think opponents will win in court. The reforms would expand Medicaid. Quinn says he doesn't think adding participants to the Medicaid rolls would add to Illinois' deficit, but he says cost estimates haven't been done yet. The absence of hundreds of millions of dollars in overdue state money is starting to show on the campuses of Illinois' public universities. So far, the damage is limited to places students and tuition-paying parents don't see, but that may be changing. The U of I last month put off a search for a new dean in its College of Media. The school has also furloughed thousands of employees. Other schools like Southern Illinois University and Carbondale are having trouble paying their bills. But new U of I students would pay much more in tuition next year, and some class sections may be cut. University President Stanley Eikenberry says the school's good reputation is at risk. Tuscola's fire chief says a morning blaze at a local chemical plant was put out with no injuries or evacuations. Firefighters were called to the Equistar plant on U.S. Route 36 just before 9. Fire Chief Steve Hettinger says about 20 firefighters from his department fought the fire for about 45 minutes. The plant is used to make ethyl alcohol. The extent of the damage isn't yet known. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, we got some rain over the weekend. I saw that come through, and it looks like we're having a number of small kind of systems over the next week or so.
Yeah, the pattern here coming up, at least for the next couple of weeks, which takes us into the first few days of April, is an active one across the nation's midsection, or for that matter, much of the central and eastern U.S. The next system of note, outside of the one that just moved through over the weekend, is on tap for Thursday and on into Friday, and that's going to be followed by a second system Sunday, Monday, and then beyond that, another system about 3 days afterwards. So pretty active pattern here, not affecting all areas of the Midwest, but especially the central and southern areas with rain. And that is the pattern. As I said earlier, yeah, we think it's in place at least the next couple of weeks.
Do you think anything is out there that potentially might break this pattern anytime soon?
At this time, Dave, no. We see this volatility in temperatures, which has been observed here over the past week to 10 days, continue. And when you get such a variability or volatility in temperatures, those are ripe ingredients here for rain activity and overall low pressure and storminess. And right now, all the factors here are in place for that to continue, yeah, over the next couple of weeks.
So we're going to need temperatures to be on our side to help with dry down. We're going to get that.
Yeah, we don't see that at least for any extended period of time, meaning, you know, a week plus or 7 days plus. We do see, you know, some warmer days here and there, and that will persist for about 2 to 3 days, but then that'll be followed then by a sharp downturn in temperatures following these cold fronts that'll pass associated with the storm systems.
What about down in the Delta?
Same is true. The pattern across the Delta region is also very active, and no sign of that changing down there as well. Now, from an absolute temperature standpoint, they are going to be warmer than areas up north, albeit, you know, still with a lot of day-to-day variability. But overall here, warmer temperatures there, but storm systems and rain activity coming through about every 3 days.
Let's turn our attention to South America, where harvest is going on. What about Brazil?
Yeah, across Brazil, they've had open weather over the past couple of weeks, but that is now changing this week as the pattern has turned very active across much of Brazil. Now up north, you're pretty much done with soybean harvest across areas of Mato Grosso and adjacent areas, but down south, you're just getting started across far southern Brazil and the state of Rio Grande do Sul. And with the active pattern, that will cause some delays here in harvest progress. No sign of any kind of, you know, major delays or extended periods of wet weather that would cause a significant delay, but at least some slowdowns here compared to late across Brazil.
Thank you very much, Mark.
You're welcome, Dave.
That's Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy. He is in Chicago, Illinois. And that is today's Closing Market Report. You can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather reports on the World Wide Web. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the audio analysis tab. This is Dave Dickey.